Good morning and welcome to our EMP. Today's scripture reading will be from Acts chapter 11, and we'll be reading from verses 1 through 18. Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. And the title of this short devo is just simply, Long After You've Prayed. Long After You've Prayed. And the biblical encouragement in this passage that I want to really draw out is that long after you've prayed is the challenge to remain faithful to God's revelation. And so I've been reading through the story of Peter and Cornelius, which leads us now to this next phase in Peter's life that, as we saw in the first part, the journey of Peter and Cornelius, of God bringing two men together from different parts culturally and from a society perspective, and God showing and revealing himself to both men at different times, at different places, but and revealing to Peter the message of essentially the gospel being for all people, for everyone, including the Gentiles. And so we see that transformation that happened in Peter's life to visit Cornelius, enter his house, and to share the gospel with him. And at that moment of sharing the gospel, Cornelius and his family, the Holy Spirit pours down and fills them all. And so we get now to the second part of this story of now Peter goes back to the church, as we'll read here. So let's read Acts chapter 11 with all that in mind, with all that context in mind, where it says now in verse 1, Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. But Peter began and explained to them in order, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a vision I saw something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But the voice answered a second time from heaven, What God has made clean, do not call common or unclean. This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household. As they began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? When they heard these things, they fell silent and they glorified God, saying then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. And so essentially here is Peter, as I break down this passage from starting with verses 1 through 3, is that It says that others heard that the Gentile had welcomed God's message, that the apostle and other brothers, other believers had heard about what had happened. And so Peter decides to go to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem essentially just represents, I guess you could say, the headquarters of the early church, where all the other apostles are at, where everything that is flowing, that is happening in the church, that's where it is Jerusalem. So we can see Jerusalem as being the headquarters, and so we can see why Peter would go back. Because something new has happened, something new he's experienced, so he goes back to Jerusalem. And it says that amongst that group, there were those who stressed circumcision, and they argued with Peter. And they argued with him, saying, "You visited uncircumcised men and ate with them?" And so Peter goes back to Jerusalem, and there's people within that group that he is sharing, and they're questioning Peter. They're arguing with Peter, like, saying, "You visited uncircumcised men and ate with them." Essentially, this was the same previous view and understanding that Peter himself had. Because as we go back and we remember that Peter himself, when God revealed himself in that vision, Peter himself had the same struggle, that he himself said, no Jew should enter an uncircumcised man's house and say so. So this view wasn't necessarily estranged to Peter, because that's the view and understanding that Peter held. But there were men that were arguing with Peter, and so it becomes a moment of contention between two views or between two understandings happening within the church at this time. And so if we think that the early church was perfect, if we think the earlier church did not argue or had different views or struggle through different understandings, it's really a false view. Because if you really read through the book of Acts, the early church in itself is not perfect. That even with early on, as we see, there's contention, there's arguments that happen here. And so we can even probably see that Peter himself, that perhaps even Peter himself can, that Peter himself here continues in the obedience of God's revelation. And so as this moment of contention between two views, we see that Peter continues in the obedience of God's revelation. And because it's curious to see about how will Peter respond to this resistance, to these arguments. And so the reason I've titled today's our devotion today, "Long After You've Prayed," is because this moment is happening long after Peter has received that revelation from God. That after his time in prayer and Joppa and having received that revelation, this is now happening. I don't know how many days later this is happening, but it's long after Peter has had that revelation, has had that time in prayer. And so my question to you is, have you ever spent a time in prayer or in God's word where his revelation comes to you, but after you leave that place of encounter and what you received, you encounter resistance? That resistance can be internally sometimes or externally. And that's what we see here. Peter has been in prayer. Peter has received a vision from God, and days later he's in Jerusalem, where the headquarters of the church is, and he's now encountering argument and contention from others about what he has received. And I think this is an important point in our lives, because sometimes when we spend time in prayer or we receive something from God's word, it's not necessarily after that. It's not really, the problems don't really arise in that moment. Because in that moment, we really feel, when you feel you received from God in prayer, whether it be in worship or in his presence, at that moment, you feel really confident. And you say to yourself, I'm going to do it. This revelation, this is how I'm going to start living my life. Have you ever felt that when you've come to church on a Sunday or you heard a podcast and you said, that is God's truth. I'm going to take that and that's the way I want to live my life. But then the moment we walk out from that place, that's when it becomes difficult. That's when the resistance begins, and it could be internally or externally. And here we could see, maybe I could imagine that maybe Peter goes back to Jerusalem and he's encountering these arguments and resistance. And maybe he begins to think to himself, maybe that wasn't God. Maybe these men, these are godly men, right? They're part of the church. These are godly men. Maybe they're right and I'm wrong in this point. Maybe the resistance could have broken Peter, you could say. And often that happens in our lives. And I remember I have this story that once I was at a point of contention with my boss. And I was just asking, I kept praying, God, what should I do? What should I do? And I remember one day while in prayer, a verse came to me. And the verse was, if you know or you have something against your brother, leave your gift at the altar and go talk to him. And so in that moment, I was like, in that moment of prayer, in that moment of God's revelation, I was like, okay, God, I know what I need to do. I need to go and talk to this person. But after I left, on my way, I was like, well, maybe I don't need to talk to them. Maybe I could just forgive them in my heart, or maybe I could just let it go this time. And if it happens again, then I will talk to them. You see what I mean? That in that moment of prayer, I received something. I received a revelation. But after I left, all of a sudden, I begin to have all these questions, all these resistances happening in my mind. And I remember even talking to some people. Well, they're like, well, maybe God was showing you for later on. But I knew in my heart that God was wanting me, was giving me that word to act in that moment of obedience. And I think sometimes that happens in our life, that we receive God's revelation, and in that moment of prayer or in his presence, we feel it so strongly and powerfully, and we feel empowered. But it's the moment, it's that long moment after we've prayed, where really sometimes the resistance comes. And so that is our challenge, that long after we've prayed, that we remain faithful to God's revelation. And so here in verses 4 through 14, we then begin to see how Peter here deals with this contention. Okay, we see in verses 4 through 14, it says that Peter began to explain everything that had happened to him in an orderly sequence. Okay, let's look at what Peter says versus what he doesn't say. In that moment, Peter, because these are all things that Peter could have said, okay? In this situation, Peter could have simply relied on his position of authority, of having walked 3 years with Jesus personally. He could have used his apostleship. He could have just simply said, God told me, end of conversation, to the men he had that contention. He could have said, hey, I walked with Jesus 3 years. You did not listen to me, and that's it. God told me, boom, done. You have no, I am Peter. I am the apostle. I'm the one out of 12 that walked on water. You guys have to listen to me. He could have said all those things, but he doesn't. What he does is that we see here that he just explains to them, it says here, in orderly, in sequence of what happened. And I think that reveals something about Peter. It reveals something about dealing with contention sometimes, that sometimes it requires a bit of order to wrestle through things rather than just simply saying, God told me and that's it, end of conversation. Because Peter could have said that. He could have said all those things. But instead, Peter begins to retell his story. He begins to explain in an orderly sequence everything that happens. And he even shares his own struggle. He shares, even I myself, when God revealed that vision to me, I struggled and I said, no, Lord, I have never done that. And I struggled, and it was revealed to me three times. So even Peter himself shares that struggle and resistance that he went through himself. Instead, what does Peter do? He simply just relies on the verification of the Holy Spirit and Scripture. And so as Peter here is retelling the story of what happened, he's telling the story about, this is the revelation that God gave me, and this is what supported that revelation. And what was supported that revelation was, look, the Holy Spirit fell on these men just in the same way that the Holy Spirit fell on us. And it says, I remembered what the Lord said, that you'd be baptized with water, but I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so Peter understood and received what God was doing. And Peter simply finishes. I like how a different version ends that. This version, I believe, says in verse 17, it says, if then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? A different version says, who was I to hinder God's way? And so Peter himself saw it as a hindrance to God if he didn't align to what God was doing here. And so in that moment, then, in verse 18, it says, they heard these things and they fell silent. I don't know how silent they fell for. Maybe 30 seconds, maybe a minute, maybe 5 minutes. I don't know. It just says that they fell silent. And then their next response is, and then they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. And I want to say in this point that sometimes in our faithfulness and obedience, God brings revelation to others in their lives. That Peter, after having received that vision, encountered the resistance, continued to be faithful to what God had revealed to him, shared in an orderly sequence, shared his struggle and his resistance to what God himself had revealed to him, and then shared with them how the Holy Spirit had verified everything that had happened. He shares with these men, and these men fall silent. Maybe they're thinking about it. Maybe I could imagine just them wrestling. Well, it's like, well, I don't know. This is Peter we're talking about. I mean, I know we don't believe that we should hang out and eat with uncircumcised men, but the Holy Spirit has fallen on them. They've received the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, go into all the world. And so maybe they're finally beginning to understand. And so they come to this moment of acceptance and say that then this message is for all to believe and to have life. And so sometimes in our faithfulness and obedience, God brings revelation to others. And I think there's something to be said about these other individuals that at first were arguing with Peter. That in order, it takes a bit of perspective, to approach the perspective of the receiver to be able to receive. Because it says here in the first verse that he shared with the apostles and brothers. And so I could imagine him, I could imagine maybe this, because I think this sometimes happens in our lives, especially when God is not just working directly in our lives, but when he's working, because our faith is very individual, but it's also very communal based as well, you know? And so let's say here at SP, when we sense God is doing something at this church, even though it's there's so many individuals that make SP apart, but we feel that God is moving within our community, then we respond to that. And so I could imagine here in this part where maybe some of the other apostles were, well, I'm an apostle too. God didn't reveal himself to me. Why should I, if God's going to speak to me as well, then, and if he's going to reveal to Peter, and Peter doubted him and was cursing people out, then I'm an apostle too. I should, you know, I have my own relationship with God. He should You know, and so these are things that I'm just imagining that sometimes become a hindrance in our lives. You know, and I know I've said those things. Well, okay, if God spoke to that person, then he's also going to speak to me because I know I'm holier than that person. That person doesn't even pray, really, you know, and we begin to judge them in some way. But sometimes in order to be a receiver of God's revelation, especially from others, it takes a bit of humbling, but also a bit of discerning as well. Because I don't think these men just simply said, okay, you said it, that's done. No, Peter retold his story. They were able to discern and made a decision themselves in that way. And so as we finish here and we go into a time of worship, I want to invite Samsa for as we go into a time of worship here, and really just as a question, is there an area in your life where perhaps God has already spoken to you, but you've been slow or maybe resistant? Maybe that resistance has come internally or externally toward being faithful and obedient to his revelation. Let's say, for example, maybe God told you, maybe you're a boss, and God told you, go love on that person that keeps getting you annoyed. Or maybe you're an employee and God told you, I want you to love your boss. And maybe you're like, well, I don't know if I should. And you've been struggling to do that. That's the resistance we're talking about. But we need to be faithful to that revelation and to be obedient to that revelation. Or perhaps like Peter was obedient the first time and he was faithful the first time he received God's revelation. However, God calls us to lifelong faithfulness and obedience. You know, for example, using that example of either loving someone, you know, if God tells you, hey, go love that person, it's not just, hey, go love that person for that one moment. He's calling you to live in that love for that person. And I like that because Peter obeyed that first time. And sometimes we're like, okay, God, I did it once. I talked to that person and I took that person out to dinner once. I'm done. My job is done. But no, Peter remained faithful and obedient to God's revelation in his life. So as we go into a time of worship, let us just close our eyes and just reflect on these points of, is there an area where God has already spoken to you, but you've been slow or resistant toward being faithful and obedient to his revelation? So I'll pray and then we can go into this time. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your revelation in our life that you speak to us. And so, Father, this morning I just pray that we would be faithful and obedient to what you reveal to us. That just like Peter, you revealed yourself to him and he was obedient. Not just that one time with Cornelius, but he was obedient again in that moment where he went back to the apostles and he shared with them. And when he went back to Jerusalem and he shared with them, he remained faithful and obedient to your revelation. And so, Father, I just pray for our lives, especially after we've prayed, that maybe we don't feel what we were feeling in that moment of prayer. But I pray, Father, that long after we've prayed, that we would continue in our faithfulness and obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We say yes, God, we are. accept the invitation to your love. We say yes, God, you and you alone can have it all. We say yes, God, we accept the invitation to your love. We say yes, God, you and you alone can have it all. You knock on the door of my heart, so I will answer you. I will answer you. You make me a covenant of love, so I will walk with you. I will walk with you. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid anymore. Love has made a way. We say yes, God, we accept the invitation to your love. We say yes, God, you and you alone can have it all. You lead me to waters that are calm, so I will follow you. I will follow you. You're dancing and singing over us, so I will dance with you. I will dance with you. I'm not afraid, not afraid anymore. Your love has made a way. We say yes, God, we accept the invitation to your love. We say yes, God, you and you alone can have it all. Up my mind, I've got no more excuses, so we open the door and we let you in. I've made up my mind, I've got no more excuses, so open the door and we let you in. We say yes, God, we accept the invitation to your love. We say yes, God, you and you alone can have it. We say yes, God, we accept the invitation to your love. We say yes, God. You and you alone can have it all.
Yes, Father, I just pray that we continue to just remain faithful and obedient. And just really recognize that sometimes in our unfaithfulness, in our disobedience, that really what we're saying is being a hindrance. Just like Peter said, who am I to stand in God's way? Who am I to hinder God's work? And so, Father, I just pray that we would not be hindrances to what you're wanting to do, either in our lives or through our lives. So, Father, just ask Holy Spirit, just strengthen us, encourage us, empower us to walk in faithfulness and obedience that we cannot do on our own strength, but we need you in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go into our community prayer this morning. Let's pray for those that have cancer and are going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for those that also are sick and also in need of salvation. Let's pray for those that are sick. Let's pray for those that are seeking job opportunities for doors to be open. Let's pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for our missions council. Let's pray for our local outreach ministries. Let's pray for SP fam. Let's pray for our gatherings happening tonight, Friday night gatherings. Let's pray for the pregnancies. Let's pray for our house church's gathering tonight. Yeah, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Pray that you just continue to speak to us, reveal more of who you are to us as we become more like you, Jesus. And so, Father, I just pray that you lead us throughout our day, that you give us the necessary wisdom to deal with the things that we encounter, and that we may reflect your glory to others. And so, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.